If I've often thought that if I prayed and didn't know my God could answer my prayers, I'd search and find a God that could. But He's proven Himself over and over and over again. Amen. Book of Ezra, the 9th chapter. If you'd like to stand for the reading of God's Word, go with me if you would. Starting at verse 5, reading through verse 9 tonight. He says in verse 5, "And at the evening sacrifice I rose up from heaviness, from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God, and said, O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up unto the heavens. Since the days of our fathers have we been in a great trespass unto this day, and for our iniquities have we, our kings and our priests, been delivered into the land, or into the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, and to a spoil, and to confusion of face, as it is this day. And now, for a little space, grace have been shown from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in His holy place, that our God might lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage." And stop reading there with that 8th verse, and you can be seated in the house of the Lord. And I'd like to take our thought from the latter part of the 8th verse, when he talks about give us a little reviving. And I'd like to preach about that for a few minutes of time tonight, about reviving. And reviving comes from the Latin word vive, which means that it had life, that it had joy, that it had fullness, and that fullness has dissipated. That fullness, in some cases, may even be gone. And we need a reviving in our hearts. And there's not a one of us. People that go to church every time, the doors are open to those that just go every once in a while. There's not a one of us that doesn't need reviving in our lives. You say, well, we're the deacons, you're the pastor, and you tell us that you need reviving. We all need to draw near unto God. And the Bible says, the Lord said, if you'll draw nigh unto me, I will draw nigh unto you. And we need that in our life. Even John said it in his word like this, "Lord, let me decrease that you might increase." And when we get revived, it's no longer about you and me, but it's about Him and what we can do for Him tonight in our life. The prophet here, Ezra, was speaking about the people of Israel and how that they had gone into bondage. If you recall the verse that I read there to you tonight, he said that there was some of them that had been delivered into the hand of the kings of the lands. Some of them had been delivered to the sword. Some of them to captivity, and some to a spoil. Some were even caught into a confusion of face. In other words, meaning embarrassment for what they had done. And he said, it's even unto this day that we have this. And I want to just share with you our thoughts tonight. And we all, and I want to ask this question because it's the way that it was placed upon my heart to do so tonight. How many of you know somebody that needs a reviving in their spiritual life? That's maybe your neighbor, maybe a co-worker, maybe a friend, maybe even a church member that you know of tonight. And I know that we all know people, Sister Violet, that need a reviving in their life. But this thought that I want all of us to take home with us tonight, it's, Lord, don't let me see what everybody else needs. Just open my eyes that I might see what I need so that I can be revived. Because if I'm revived, then I can help somebody else to become revived. And the revival is not for the mass, but a reviving has to start with a person. It has to start with a congregation. It has to start with a church or a city or a community. Before we can ever get our country back to God, we as God's people, which are called by His name, are going to have to humble ourselves, ask for forgiveness of our sins, and return back to God, get revived so that we can be a blessing to somebody else that we come in contact with on our way. And Ezra said, I'm embarrassed, I'm blush of face, even to come to you, Lord, because of all the problems. If you read the precursor verses up in 1 through 4, you'll find out that He was so embarrassed about what his people had done. See, God told him, when you go into those lands, don't you allow your sons to take wives from their people. And don't let your daughters take husbands from those people. But they did. He said, stay away from them. But they did not. Anytime God says to do something and we don't, we need a reviving. Anytime God says to do something or don't do something and we do it, we need a reviving. Either way you want to apply it, we need a reviving when we do not follow what God tells us to do in our heart. And the prophet Ezra, the Bible says that he began to pluck his hair out. He even plucked his beard out, and he got down in sackcloth and ashes and began to pray unto the Lord because he was so embarrassed at what his people had done. And I will be the first to admit tonight that I'm embarrassed of what our people have done against God. For a nation that says one nation under God, we have desecrated the name of God and crawled away so far away from God that some of our people, just like Ezra said, some of them have been delivered into the hands of the kings of other lands. Some are kept by or been taken by the sword, some by captivity, and some by spoil, and some by confusion of face or embarrassment. And our people are as far away from God as I believe that they have ever been in the history of this country. And it's not just our people, but it's all of us today, because we've all allowed things to creep into our life and help the pastor for a few minutes of time. I started to say I was only going to preach about 15, 20 minutes because I want you to get home and get rested so that you can come back tomorrow night. But I just want to preach my message to you. But we all need to examine our lives and say, Lord, I need a reviving because there's things that I have in my life that I'm embarrassed about. I can't come and pray. I can't come and repent for anybody else except for myself. And I want to bring myself unto God and say, Lord, I'm sorry for the sins that I have done, for those that I've done through omission and those I've done through commission. Whatever it is, Lord, I need you to help me so I might be a light in this dark world, so that my loved ones might get saved before it's too late. Because have you not heard that it might be today, it might be in the morning, it might be tomorrow night, but Jesus is coming soon. And when he comes, only the redeemed of God, those that have had their sins washed white in the blood of the Lamb, are the only ones that's going to take the flight toward heaven. And folks, it's going to be some of my people and some of yours that's going to be left behind to have to hear the sad words, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. I don't want them to go saying, it's because of the life that he lived, the reason why I never trusted in God. I want to be a light, and I'm a failure as much as anybody is. Anybody else a failure tonight in this life? And you know that you failed God. That's what I'm talking about. We fail God daily. But praise God, we can walk into the storehouse of God and say, Lord, this is what I need for today. I need some help that I might be revived. I don't need to be down the street corners preaching the gospel. I don't need to be in some far land preaching the gospel, but I want to be a help to some lost soul that may pass me on the way and see something that's different about my life than what's different about theirs. You know any difference between your life and a lost man, woman, boy, or girl that's going to hell and destruction? Is that somewhere somebody that had the Holy Ghost in them, Steve, they prayed for us, took our name before God. God heard their prayers and he sent conviction into the little country church, and when the conviction come, we was convicted of our sins, condemnation come in, and the best thing that I ever did in my life is when I repented of my sins and I asked Jesus Christ to save me. And folks, if we would just see that in our lives every day. It's not your job, it's not your home, it's not your family. The best gift that God has given to any of us was when he allowed Jesus Christ to die on on a cross at Calvary to save us from our sins. If anybody ought to be lifting up the name of Jesus Christ, it ought to be those that have been redeemed by the blood tonight, that He said if we would lift His name up, that He would draw all men. I feel the preacher in the house tonight. He would draw all men unto Him. And those all men meant the women and the boys and girls. And we all today would still be lost had it not been for somebody getting revived in their life. We need a revival. We need a revival where the deacons will be deaconing. We need a revival where the preachers will be preaching. We need a revival where the singers will be singing. Has anybody else thought about this revival? And I was thinking as we was driving over here tonight and this week as I was working around the house, I thought about that if the Lord allows Terry to preach, and I know they'll be singing. Becky asked me, I believe it was, or Jim asked me as well, who did I have coming for the special singing? And I just feel it like this tonight. Y'all just bear with me and forgive me if I let you down, but I feel like God will give the song to the singers in the house before they get in the car to come to the house of the Lord. When they show up, they'll be ready to sing. I know that God will give Terry the message. And folks, I'm looking for the heavens to open up, as He said in His word, that He said, I will open up the heavens and pour you out such a blessing that you won't be able to contain it all or to receive it all. I'm talking about an old-time Holy Ghost filled, fire-breathing preaching from heaven above that will cause sinners. The Bible says that sinners can't sit in the house of the righteous. And you know what? Because we have not been revived, people go in the church lost and they leave lost. And I didn't come to preach all this tonight, and I certainly didn't come to throw stones. But folks, I'd rather go where two or three are gathered in the name of God Almighty that have come to see the Lord work than I had to be in the greatest of cathedrals with the house filled and God not be in the midst of it. I'm not worried about the numbers. I want to feel the fire come from heaven above that will start at the front pew and go to the back pew and tell us whether we're right or wrong. And when we come to that knowledge, that we'll just follow God and get right. Ezra said, I'm sorry for what my people have done. I'm sorry that our priest had quit doing what God told him to do. They're offering up sacrifices that God won't accept. He said, in fact, I'm so embarrassed about all the things that they have done. And listen to some of these things that he said. He said, the first one that we read there in verse 7, he said that we have sinned from the days of our fathers until now. If you go back, and Brother Harvey and I used to talk about this, and Brother Herman every once in a while after church, that if you go back and look at it, our country left God a long time ago. It's not just in the 2000s, but it goes all the way back to the late 40s and early 50s, that our fathers started thinking that they could do it better without God, and look where we're at today. I am embarrassed at what our country stands for today, because, and I'm trying not to be too long-winded tonight, but anybody wants to bring any God at all into this country, we open up the doors and allow them to bring them in. And the Bible history will teach us, Joseph got in trouble because his wives served many different gods. David got in trouble because his wives served many different gods, and they brought him into his house. Folks, I'm like Joshua of old when he said it like this, you can choose you whom this day you'll serve, but as for me and my God, we'll serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because He's the true God that has delivered time and time and time again. It's not these false gods that we've got. He also said it like this. He said, I'm ashamed and I blush at the sins that go up to the heavens. Folks, there used to be a time when people sinned that they was ashamed of their sins. Now people sin and they're not a bit ashamed at what they've done. They say, well, I didn't feel any wrong in it, so it's really not sin unto me. Let me tell you, whether you feel wrong or not, if the Bible says it is wrong, then it is still wrong today. God has not changed just because we've changed. Doesn't mean God has changed. If it was wrong for our forefathers, it's still wrong for us today. And we need to repent from what the world says is right. Turn back to God. Get right. Get revived. And then we'll see that God will start blessing us again. he also said it like this. He said, we're also, not only do we have all these problems, but he said, even though we are slaves, God did not forsake us. Even though we're in trouble, he has not forsaken us, and he has given us some favor in his sight. Folks, you and I don't deserve one blessing that God has given to us. This country that we live in, and I think it's the greatest country on the face of the earth. But folks, let me tell you, slowly and gradually, America is losing her favor with God. And God one day is going to turn his back on this country. And we're going to be just like Ethiopia. We're going to be just like the eastern countries and all those others. Because when God turns his back on them, folks, you can plant the seed and you can water it. But it will not grow and give the increase. The only way it grows because God blesses it. Didn't we hear the sister here Sunday morning? She said that Kobe gave her a tomato plant. One plant. And she started to count those tomatoes that came off of it. And it was over 300 tomatoes that came off that one plant. Sounded to me like she'd been around Harvey. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Because one time he began to count the kernels of corn that came off of a corn stalk. And he began to count them, couldn't figure out how one seed could bring forth on one ear of corn over 300 kernels. People, let me tell you, when God blesses it, you just put in a little bit. And God will open up the heavens and pour it out upon you. He said also, we have forsaken your commandments. And listen at this, and this is us today. He says, you have punished us. In verse 13, he says, you have punished us less than what we deserve. Amen. If God gave America and gave his churches in this land what we deserved, folks, we would be in deep, deep trouble. Amen. But God is gracious and kind and merciful. Yes, he is. He's turned his eyes away from us. And he's blessed us in spite of ourselves. We need a reviving tonight. That we can get back and thank him a little bit for what he's done. And then listen to what he also said. He said that you have allowed us to escape even as it is today. In verse 15, he's saying that even though we're in bondage, you've allowed us to come out and work on this temple for your name. Ezra was trying to rebuild the temple, if you remember right, that the temple at Jerusalem that had been destroyed, he was trying to build it back so they'd have a place of worship. Tonight we've got a place of worship, and you can't get God's people which are called by his name to go to church anymore. They'd rather go to a coffee shop. Some of you get that a little later on. I can drink coffee at the house or in the car. When I go to church, the only drink I want is a drink of the Holy Ghost. So that it'll fill us up and give us what we stand in need of. He said also in verse 15, he says it like this. Because of our trespasses, we cannot stand before thee. Because of this. If God was to call us into judgment tonight. And people say this is a Baptist church. Now Roger, be careful. But the Bible teaches us every day we stand in judgment. You and I have to give an account for our sins. Amen. If that which we do is wrong, we'll pay for it. The Bible teaches us, and I believe this with all my heart, those of us that are saved that know to do right and we do wrong, we won't have to worry about paying for it in the future after this life comes to an end. We're going to pay for it while we're in this life. Because, you see, heaven wouldn't be heaven if I had to go there and pay for some of my sins I committed down here. But heaven's a place where he said that no unclean thing will walk therein. Everything that goes through the door is forgiven 100%. We'll pay for it while we're here. You and I, anybody ever done anything and you felt guilty even before you did it? Some of you don't want to confess on a Wednesday night. You come back tomorrow night. You know it's true. Sometimes devil put a thought on your mind. And I find myself saying, Lord, forgive me. People say, well, we shouldn't have to do that. You didn't act upon it. We entertained the devil. And folks, anytime we entertain the devil, we're pushing God out. We need to get God back in our lives. And tonight, Ezra said this all about his people, and I've not preached that all of this, and I have no intention of preaching all of this. But he said what we need is for our people to be revived. They need to get reacquainted with God. They need to get re-fired up for God. They need to get that song out of the songbook and start singing it for God. They need to get that testimony out of their heart and start testifying for God. You and I, it's easy for us to look at everybody else and say, this one and that one and that one over there, they all need to get right with God so God can bless them. Amen? But tonight in this closing, I want us to do this. There's an old song that says it like this. It says, it's not my brother, not my sister, not my father, not my mother, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in need of reviving. You say it don't say that. But we're putting Roger's words in there tonight. Every one of us needs reviving in our hearts. And it doesn't start with the lay members. Deacons, it starts with the deacons. It starts with the preachers. It starts with the pastor. It starts with all of us tonight. I can't expect anybody else to get revived until I get revived. You can't expect your loved ones to get revived until you get revived. You say, well, I've not been that wrong. I've not done that many things that's bad. Folks, all it takes is one occurrence to lose your influence on everybody around you. One occurrence. It don't have to be a foul word. It don't have to be a foul action. It can just be a look. It can be a pause. It can be another word. It can be an action. Did you know we've been told this ever since we was little, that our actions speak louder than our words. And our neighbors are watching us. What would you think would happen if I didn't pull out of the driveway on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night? After a while, they'd think, he quit going to church. Folks, I don't want anybody, they can think I quit going to work. They could think I quit going to the junkyard. They can quit thinking that I quit going everywhere else. But folks, don't let my people think that I ever gave up on God. Because God has been too good to me. He's been too good to you. How many of you tonight need reviving? Amen. I'm going to do this. We're not going to get a song because it might be the song leader that needs a reviving. And I'm not picking on Rob. He knows that. But I think there's probably not a one of us that doesn't need a reviving. How many of you tonight are like Ezra? I'm embarrassed at what our people have done to God. God has blessed our loved ones, blessed their households, and now they've turned their backs on God and walked away. I'm embarrassed on their account. Because it's my God that they have turned their backs on, who made them and gave them all that they have. I'm embarrassed because our country has taken prayer out of the church or at schools. I'm embarrassed because our country has put people in prominent places. And you can weigh this up with God. I'm not preaching politics tonight. But who would have ever thought in a God-fearing country that we would allow a Muslim to live in the White House? Oh, some of you, I just lost you. People say, well, it's politics. You ought not talk about that. Let me tell you, this country about had a heart attack when John F. Kennedy, the first Catholic, was put in the White House. How do you think our forefathers that felt almost had a heart attack then would feel today if they knew we had a Muslim up there? And people say, well, I didn't do it. Somebody did. And I'm embarrassed. People say, oh, Pastor, and I'll probably get somebody to pull me aside after service. But let me tell you, it's the truth. If we're for God, we cannot bring every other God into this land and lift them up instead of lifting up our God. It's our God that parted the Red Sea. It's our God that delivered our people out from underneath bondage. It's our God that opened up the river Jordan and let them cross through. It's our God that brought them through the fire and through the floods and some through the rain. It's our God that saved our souls from hell. Not their God. Their God is still dead and in the tomb. But praise God, ours is alive and well. And His people need a reviving in their hearts. People say, that's too hard to preach it on Wednesday night. I didn't write it. You take it up with Him. I'm like Ezra. I'm embarrassed at where we're at. Not just even as a country, but I'm embarrassed at what people call churches. Because our churches are not churches anymore. They are social centers. When a church, Dad's got a church down there across the street from his house, that their churches are more worried about having building funds to put up a gymnasium than they are worried about people getting in and getting right with God. Let me tell you, basketball's good, but basketball won't get you to heaven. Volleyball's good, but volleyball won't get you to heaven. Baseball, all the sports are good, but they won't get you to heaven. We need a church that's on fire for God. We'll go play after when the time is appropriate. But right now, let's work for the Lord, because He's at work while it's day, because the night cometh when no man will work again. People say, well, you say we ought to give up everything. No. God wants us to enjoy this life. He wants us to have a good time. But the writer, the preacher said it like this. There's a time for all things. Amen. That's right. There's a time for it. And I'm going to get on somebody else's toes and then I'm going to close. Because I might start meddling. Sunday is the day of the Lord. And I know some people have to work. God knows that. Sunday morning, we ought to be in church. Some of y'all thinking, there's some people I need to send this message to. We got to get right first. Amen. Sunday night, we ought to be in church. Amen. Wednesday night, we ought to be in church. Yep. People say, well, I just don't have time for all that churching. We got time for everything in the world except for God. Yeah. And when you add it up, when your life comes to an end, it won't be about all those other things you did. I will not be remembered as a good basketball player. I'll not be remembered as a good volleyball or softball or volleyball or soccer or anything else. I won't even be remembered as a good employee of a company. Think about this. You can quit your job tomorrow and they'll put somebody else in your place and they'll not miss a tick. They'll keep on going. But I hope there's a little church somewhere that when I'm gone, they say, you know what? We miss that little old preacher that used to get up every once in a while and get so full of the Holy Spirit that he would almost leave this world. I hope there's somebody that can walk by my tombstone one day and say, yes, I remember him. More than anything in life, he loved the Lord. He enjoyed life, but he enjoyed being in the house of the Lord. And seeing people get right. Folks, that's what God has called us to do. Get our people right before it's too late. Now I'm going to close with this. It's not your brother that needs to get revived. It's not your sister that needs to get revived. I don't even want you to look at your deacons or your pastor. I don't even want you to look at your spouse or your kids. You say, oh, but I know what they're going through. It doesn't matter where they're at. And I don't say this in a harsh way. I can do nothing to make my kids get right with God. But oh, if I can begin to ring the prayer bells of heaven, God can get their attention when they won't listen to me. You know what they can do? They can walk away from me, Ron. Has anybody ever been laying up on your bed and trying to walk away from God when He's talking to you? There's no hiding place. Because no matter how deep you... Jonah went down to the bottom of the ocean in the great fish. You know what he found? God was still down there. Amen? Oh, I got to preach a few more minutes. Moses went all the way up on the highest mountain in the world. And he found God was up there. It doesn't matter where you go, folks. You cannot hide from God. In the book of Revelations, it closes, I promise you. The Bible says this, that in that day they'll cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them to hide their face from His appearing. But there'll be no hiding place. God knows exactly where every soul is at. Brother Eli, He knows where your children's at. He knows where your grandchildren's at. My son, and that's away from the Lord, he's supposed to be at work right now. As far as I know, he's at work. Now, whether he goes or not, only he really knows that. But you know what? They used to sing a song that says, there's an all-seeing eye watching you. God knows where he's at. God knows what he's doing. And he knows about yours as well. While we stand to our feet. Many of you raised your hands. In fact, I don't know if there was anybody that didn't raise your hands. How many of you are expecting a great revival? It's not going to start tomorrow night. No. It's had to already start. Amen. But how many of you are expecting to come out tomorrow night and Friday night and Saturday night and Sunday? And you're coming not saying, oh, I got to go to church again. But, oh, I get to go to church. I get to be blessed by God. I get to hear the song that the singer just couldn't wait to sing. And I get to hear a word that Terry's going to bring. And I hope he just tears the house down. Amen? That's the way we ought to be. Now, no song, but I ask you, how many of you is going to be opening up before God saying, I need revived? And I want you, Lord, just to start with me right now. Don't look to see who else is moving. We all ought to just move as God moves in your heart. If God's not asking you to move, you won't do no good to move. But if the Lord's laid upon your heart to get revived, you come with us. And we're going to close with this altar of prayer this evening.